Chapter 84. Lysander. Hangar 17B. The three black night raptors coast in from space. They broadcast no radio signals or light, except the red rangefinders on the tips of their wings. Even those are turned on only at the last possible moment. To me, standing in the abandoned hangar flanked by Marcus, Drusilla, and four more Killpool dragoons, the rangefinders seem like the eyes of Atlas himself. Nocturnal, omniscient. As the bait and the jaws of my own trap, I have never felt more like prey. Python knew the hangar Atlas would use. It was cut from her systems by someone earlier in the day. Power outage, supposedly. It is filled with war machines, too damaged to repair, and awaiting the attention of oranges to be harvested for parts. My razor hangs on my hip. My Aegis cuff on my left vambrace is dormant. I wear a sidearm, which is not too unusual. I wish I could have come in my pulse armor, but Atlas will be suspicious enough to find me waiting for him in the hangar. He told me to meet him in the barracks, where he'd be untouchable. Only bullying Marcus and Drusilla with my intel got me here where he can finally be killed. Instead of pulse armor, scarab skin guards my body, concealed beneath my white uniform and cape. My hands sweat in my lambskin gloves. Only my mind's eye keeps the sweat from my brow. It's all I can do not to search the hangar for Cassius. He is here. Somewhere in the ranks of damaged ripwings and mechs, or perhaps above in the shadows of the high ceiling. It's better I don't know. I'm afraid Atlas will read my face immediately. The night raptors hiss as they pass through the pulse field that hems in the hangar's atmosphere. Their bulk is alienating. Battered and carbon-scored, they hover over me in a line, their engines groaning, their guns big as men. They stay there, floating, as if waiting for me to kneel. When they set down, they do so in unison. Ramps unfurl from beneath their reinforced cockpits like tongues to disgorge their human cargo. Only none comes. An invisible jam field extends with a pop. He knows. No. He's careful, making sure no one records him. I counted on this. A few minutes pass. I resist the urge to flee. I wish I'd just had Pyther blast Atlas the moment his ships came into land. But I had to be cautious. I was right to be. A fourth night raptor glides through space toward the hangar, far delayed behind the others. A cautious man indeed. As it lands, the Gorgons disembark. A grey, long-armed specialist trudges down the ramp of the rightmost ship with her rifle. Her face is half-covered with a bandage. She is hairless, her scalp bright red and peeling. She smiles at me like a ghoul, half-monster, half-militarist fantasy. More Gorgons follow with their gear and their wounded. Around 30, all told. Whatever they faced on the moon of Orpheus, Atlas did not exaggerate its dangers. Few are uninjured. Many are missing limbs and wear court cuffs from their battle with Orpheus's defenders. Unless some are remaining on the night raptors, their numbers have been depleted by 80%. Witnessing the state of Atlas's dread force fills me with a measure of confidence. He's not invulnerable. I search their ranks for their leader, hoping to find him as wounded as his men. I am disappointed. He exits the fourth ship with all his limbs, but he is not in armor. He is not in armor. Clad in black fatigues, with only a pulse shield generator on his belt, he helps a bulky grey woman bear out a man on a stretcher. Over Atlas's shoulder is slung a reinforced pack. My eyes ache to stare at it, but it must be like the sun to them, forbidden. Atlas feels my eyes on him, and his head turns like an owl's to meet my gaze. He calls back into the night raptor. My heart sinks at the heavy boot steps. Rhone trudges out in his full Praetorian field armor. Like Atlas, the man appears uninjured. Of course he is. He just went out to escort Atlas in. His eyes sweep the ranks of machines in the hangar. Do they know? No, he looks at everything like that. Rhone told me, when I was younger, to always have a plan to kill everyone you meet, and any deviation in a pattern is a sign of someone preparing a trap. He's just as big of a threat as Atlas is, especially in that armor. Atlas passes off the stretcher to a Gorgon. Together, he and Rhone make their way toward me. You're late, I call. Be entitled, but reasonable. A Palatine brat who's learned his lesson. Neither man replies. Rhone stops a few meters from me and nods to Marcus, Drusilla, and the others. They salute him and hold the salute for Atlas. Flavinius's eyes bore into me. He smiles, pleasant.
Heard you had a visitor.
I nod. Atlas strides up to me with his pack on his shoulder and stops about a foot away. His eyes are everywhere, collecting data, except meeting mine.
I told you to meet me in the barracks. Did Marcus confuse my orders? He asks.
I told him, Marcus says. There's been a problem. It couldn't wait, I say. He sighs.
I left you the pig trussed, gutted, and cooked. All you had to do was eat it.
Diomedes is alive.
Yes, Marcus already told me.
He still not looked into my eyes. He knows, or he doesn't. The man looks absolutely smashed with exhaustion. The feast is ruined. Atlas's eyes finally meet mine. Far is dead. His Gorgons within earshot, which, due to their augmented hearing, is all of them, turn or stop dead in their tracks.
Talking business in front of the ranks? Pull yourself together, Atlas says.
Rhone takes the hint.
Clear the deck. On the double. Wounded to sick bay. Showers, grub, and comfort flesh for the rest. You've earned it, Nils. You've earned it for the rest of your lives. On the double, I said.
The mission must have been a success, then. Is Edmi in the pack on Atlas's shoulder? The Gorgons flow past me to either side. Atlas keeps looking at me. In time, he will discover me. My only defense is his exhaustion and the magnitude of the mission he was on, and telling him the truth before he suspects it. I have to unravel it slowly, but not so slowly I lose his interest. Most of all, I have to keep him here until I get the green light from Pytha. When the last of his men have cleared the hangar, he steps back and hangs his head. He is exhausted, but the act is also one of respect and profound sadness. You knew about Far. That's why you stopped the assault, I say.
Correct. The kin shield is also gone. Certain patterns have been broken.
I'm sorry. I know they were close to you.
Do you have anything else? He asks.
I glance back at Marcus, Drusilla, and the other four. Give us the deck. Marcus looks to Atlas, who shakes his head for him to stay.
They're in the Zero, Atlas says. What else, Lysander? I want to take off my boots.
Darrow killed Far. He sighs back at Rhone.
And I thought I'd get a shower before they piled more shit on my shoulders again.
Rhone grimaces in sympathy.
At least we have confirmation now.
You were aware of this? I ask.
Suspected. When obsidians see a curved blade, they shout wolf.
Why am I just hearing this, Marcus?
Atlas asks. I think he's lying. I think he knew of Darrow's involvement for fact.
I was not aware of the information, Marcus says, worried at displeasing Atlas and accusing me of withholding with the same tone.
How did you come by it, Lysander?
Atlas asks me. Diomedes told me after we arrived at the parting of the Shadow.
You were right. Ra was with them on the Nixian Isles, Roan says.
I resist the urge to look toward the exit. Pytha can't see into the hangar. No one can with the jam field, but she will let me know when the coast is clear, with a green light over the hangar's pulse field. That light is hardwired. I picture her in the sink, watching the Gorgons filing through the halls to the lifts, and then riding them deeper into the ship, their minds occupied with fantasies of hot water, food, and warm flesh. Why is it taking so long? Are some of them lingering? Has Pytha been frozen out? Stay the course. Trust your team. I need more time. I need to get rid of the 6 greys behind me. Even with Pytha's green light, this will still get messy. Atlas is about to leave.
I saw Darrow, I say.
Atlas stops and turns. That he did not know. Roan takes a half step forward.
You saw Darrow in person?
I nod.
Diomedes took me to meet him.
Go on. Tell us, Atlas says.
It's the first time I've gotten his full attention, and I'm worried I've turned on a machine that will gobble me up. Questions come at me with no logical order except to help Atlas form a private mental construct and to shake free information from me that I might not know is useful. It's like being hit, pulled, and twirled by a wave.
Was it just the 3 of you? Who left first, you or him? Did you get the impression he was staying? Was there a green tinge on his lips? Describe the tone of his voice. You said there was mud on his boots. Describe it. Did he come from a cave? Was it dust, then mud, or mud with dust? More on the heels or the toes? A steep incline, then. He came from the east.
His eyes snap to a Praetorian behind Drusilla.
My men are exhausted. Roan, do you mind? Gratitude. Marcellus, rabbit to Flavius. Tell him to get Camillus and the Triad down to the surface. Darrow must have accessed the shrine through the granary 3.1 kilometers eastish. If he's there, do not engage. I will lead the team. If he's not there, take samples of everything. Bring Jarnas, too. Get him on all that grid's cameras. All I need is a direction or a metal sample. No radios.
He flicks a hand, and one more Praetorian is shed. 5 now. No green light. The anxiety is insane.
They've sensed my involvement, then? Atlas asks me.
They have. Diomedes and Darrow want an alliance with me against Adelantia. They sent me back here to kill you.
Lysander, this is very important. What did you say to their offer?
I said maybe.
Roan frowns.
And they let you leave? They didn't take you hostage?
He did it right. They wouldn't have believed you if you said yes, Lysander. And if you said no, we wouldn't have them by the nose. But they are still engaged.
Atlas takes me by the shoulders.
Well done.
He lets me go, smiling. Then, casually,
do they know about my mission to Orpheus? Do they know about Edmi?
Yes.
I lie, and let him see the lie so he thinks I'm still playing a tricky game. But the game is up. He felt the scarab skin under my clothes.
No green light?
Oh, well. Double down all the same.
I drop my hips and reach for my razor.
In all my life, I have never seen someone move as fast as Roan, except for Atlas when he slaps the pulse shield generator on his belt and draws his own blade. Knowing Atlas is easily good enough to parry my first stroke, I choose not to waste it on him. I go after the greys behind me. At the same moment, 40 meters away and 10 off the ground, Cassius pops up from the cockpit of a war titan with no engine and opens fire on Atlas with a heavy pulse rifle. I activate the Aegis on my left forearm as I turn on the greys. A meter-wide blue shield flares to life, covering my flank. It takes Atlas's first stroke dead on. That first stroke is all he gets before Cassius's fire literally slaps him off his feet.
My first stroke takes Marcus just under his eyes and passes through his unprotected skull to kill Drusilla beside him in the same manner. The three Praetorians behind them are amongst the best grey soldiers alive, but the unexpected speed and ferocity of my attack catches them off guard. I spring at them, and two precise strokes remove the three remaining Praetorians from the equation. It costs me. The impact of a rail slug into the back of my left thigh buckles the leg and sends me spinning. Two more hit me in the right leg, just above the kneecap. I sprawl to the deck and reach for my sidearm. A round from Roan cuts the weapon almost in half. Only the scarab skin and the low caliber of the pistol munitions keep the impact of his rounds from cutting my legs in half. Still, the pain is incredible. I'm on the ground, a half-breath before I push off amongst the ruins of the Praetorians. I glance up to see Atlas stumbling 10 meters away, his shield crackling from Cassius's fusillade. Seven near-perfect shots slam into Atlas's shield, wreathing him in a cocoon of blue and green fire. Atlas keeps the shield up, even though his skin must be boiling inside it. Roan saves Atlas's life by firing at Cassius's sniper position with his pistol as he draws his rifle with his offhand. He switches between the weapons like water flows to lower ground. His dragon helmet slithers up for combat.
"Kill clearance," Roan yells. "Granted," Atlas calls. "Switch."
His shield cooling from the reprieve Roan granted him, Atlas springs after Cassius. Roan shifts back to firing at me, this time with ammunition that will shred my scarab skin. I rush my former ducks from behind my aegis and a leap, leaving the crown of my head exposed as bait before shifting my aegis. He snaps two shots at my head. The aegis takes the rifle fire at point-blank range, but he switches ammunition on the gun and fires a trick shot on the ground that bounces up under the shield and whizzes between my legs. Roan switches ammunition again, and a slow-moving slug pounds the left rim of my aegis. Still in the air, I'm spun around in a full revolution, coming out of it just in time to fall back toward him and plunge my razor through his pulse shield, through his armor, to take him in his bent right leg, midway up the thigh. Before I can withdraw it, Roan deploys a buffer pulse from his armor. I'm smacked by an invisible giant hand, stunning me and sending me sprawling backward. I lose hold of my razor, but not my aegis. I fend off a hail of gunfire and roll to my feet, dazed, to find Roan with his leg still impaled by my razor. Instead of dropping his rifle to remove its tip from the floor, he pulls sideways against the blade, taking it through the meat of his thigh. Blood sprays from the wound and vaporizes against his pulse shield. Crimson fog fills the space between his armor and the shield, obscuring his sight. He becomes a bloody shadow as he fires at me. I duck behind my aegis and take three more shots meant for my head. I try to close again and launch myself toward my razor, still sticking upright in the deck. Grasping it on the roll, I come up and drive the blade toward his head. He deflects that strike and two more with his rifle. The deflections must cost him his rifle because he shocks me by closing within my guard. No grey ever tries to close on a gold. It's suicide. Not for Roan T. Flavinius. I feel a pinch in my right breast and glance down to see a dagger buried to the hilt in my chest. The ribs caught it before it reached my heart. Roan's other hand punches upward toward my throat. I duck my head to take the punch on the chin and take his opposite elbow on the side of my head. At the same time, he tries a cravat move to sweep my legs. Instead of stepping out of the cravat move, I step in to him and drive my knee upward into his stomach armor. An electric thrill from his shield courses through my leg, deadening the limb. Still, the force of the blow lifts Roan off his feet. He lands like a cat and hurls his broken rifle at me. I bat it aside and narrowly dodge an acid pack he throws to cover his retreat. Acid eats into the deck and hangs in the air like a fine mist between us. I go around. Breath comes shallow and filled with blood. Fire spreads through my diaphragm. My left lung is punctured. Knowing Roan is a menace at a distance, I try to close and overwhelm him with my mass and speed. He keeps space between us, boosting backward and upward with his grav boots. He reloads his pistol and fires down at me as he goes. I hide behind my aegis. The rounds affect my shield in a strange way. It's overheating too fast. How many kinds of ammo does he have? I don't know what's happening with Atlas and Cassius. My situation is turning desperate. I can't hide behind my aegis much longer. It's glowing red, melting the scarab skin into the flesh of my left forearm. No time to go back for a Praetorian rifle. With a roar of pain, I lunge out from my aegis's cover and hurl my razor at Roan like a javelin. It takes him in the right shoulder, and he spins in the air. His shield spits sparks, and he careens into the side of a night raptor. He spills down its fuselage to crash onto its wing. I leap up to join him, only to find him already recovered. He lost his pistol in the collision, but his armor is an equalizer, and he extracts my razor from his shoulder to grip in his right fist. He stumps his boot, and another knife pops up into his left hand. Barking like a dog, he charges me. He's a gory damn terror. Unarmed, I search for a weapon. I spot his pistol on the deck below and bail off the wing before he closes. I grab his pistol on the run, drop, turn, and fire just as he bears down on me. The shots finish his pulse shield, and I roll under the sweep of my own razor as he swings it at my head. I spin around as I come out behind him and kick his legs. It's the legs you go for on an armored opponent, because with their balance compromised, the weight of their armor becomes a liability. My shin bone almost breaks, but he teeters off balance and begins to fall. Still he manages to whip the razor back at me and tear the pistol from my hand. It is not his first time handling a razor, not in the least. Stripped of the pistol, I back off from him. He cracks the whip at my eyes and underhand throws the boot knife. I track it and catch it and hurl it back at his face. He blocks it by raising his armored arm and I sprint at him. He's terrifying at any range, but up close I can overpower him. I hit him before he can bring the razor around on me and tackle him to the ground. I manage to pry free the razor as we roll. It bounces away. He's out of blades, but ends up on top. He drives his right hand toward my neck. I raise my left forearm just in time to intercept the knife that emerges from his armor. Gory damn! Another one! Unlike the first pistol rounds, the knife has a diamond edge. It goes through the scarab skin like paper and emerges through my forearm, nearly taking my left eye, too. I block a second stab with the same arm. This time the knife goes through the forearm into the side of my face. It goes into my mouth and cuts through a few teeth. Its tip just tickles the roof of my mouth. He's so close to killing me, but he's just not strong enough to pound the blade home. I push the blade back out of my mouth, and I twist my arm and push down. I trap the blade against his chest and roll him till I'm on top. Keeping my gored arm tight to his chest, I use my left knee to pin his right arm. I reach blindly with my right hand for my discarded razor. I grab the blade instead of the hilt and lose the top third of my pinky and ring finger for the effort. Roan's resistance suddenly slackens. His hips push up against me with a boost from his grav boots. I'm rocked off balance. My momentum takes me over his head, freeing the knife from my impaled forearm. Fortunately, that momentum also pushes me toward my razor. Sprawling forward, I grasp the hilt with my mutilated hand and swing backward in a daisy-cutter stroke. Resistance jerks my arm. I scramble up to see Roan standing behind me with a long black needle clutched in his steel fist. He tries to take a step. He cannot. My razor cut through both of his calves just above his grav boots. Grunting, he spills sideways and lands with a thump on the deck. I stumble toward him. He squirms like a crab on its back. Even now he's dangerous. He hurls the black needle at me. I slap it away with my razor. God knows what it was coated with. I stomp on his chest. "If I was born gold, I'd eat you alive," he says with a chuckle. "No blood of Selinius. No." I spike my razor through the crown of his dragon helmet and into his head three times. Knowing even Roan T. Flavinius can't survive a trio of holes through his brain, I spit blood and broken teeth down on his body. Then I leave him to his death spasms and fetch his pistol from the bloodied deck. I load a new magazine from his thigh cache. Numb and seeing double, I stumble toward Atlas and Cassius. With Roan's opening shots on my legs, it's hard to walk. The wound in my face oozes blood. My left arm is badly punctured and a few ligaments severed. Each breath is frothy with blood. I couldn't keep up with the dance that lies ahead. Atlas and Cassius are locked in a deadly game. Cassius's right hand is gone. He's fighting with his left.
Three deep slashes score his chest plate. His armour bleeds electricity. Atlas's face is a crimson stain. Half his scalp is hanging off the side of his head. His left leg drags behind him, and three long gashes flay his chest. Cassius's bright razor and Atlas's haster blur like butterfly wings. I'm too far away. I raise the pistol, but can't find an opening that doesn't put Cassius in the line of fire. I stumble closer. My left eye must be damaged. I can't focus. Cassius is winning, though something is wrong with his armor. Acid or something has eaten through the back. His armor is quitting. The helmet stuttering up and down. He cuts it off completely and delivers a horizontal sweep that should take Atlas in half at the waist. Atlas hand springs over the blow, using Cassius's own shoulder for leverage. He stabs down as he passes overhead and pierces Cassius's armor just inside his left shoulder. The blade sinks two hand-breaths deep and sticks as Cassius twists. Atlas abandons the weapon and dodges two of Cassius's return thrusts, darts back in, takes his blade, retreats, and sweeps at Cassius's armored head. It's a feint to draw Cassius's guard. Atlas pivots and drives his haster underhand toward Cassius's heart. Even wounded, Cassius keeps his defensive discipline. He redirects Atlas's blade into the deck, stomps on the tip with his boot, and backhands his razor toward Atlas's head with his left hand. At the last moment, he converts his razor into a whip. The whip snakes around Atlas's neck with a snap. Beautiful! Atlas goes still. His haster is stuck in the deck. Cassius holds him on a leash. The two fighters pant for breath. It's only then I see the blisters on Atlas's skin. He was boiling inside the shield when Cassius first opened fire on him. Cassius doesn't dare take his eyes off Atlas. I turn, scan the hangar. It's quiet. The jam field is still up. The light is green. I wish Pytha could see. We've won. We've won. I stumble toward Cassius, searching the deck for my prize.
Drop your blade and get on your knees, Cassius orders.
Atlas does not obey.
Lice,
Cassius calls when he hears me limping toward them. My legs give out and start to cramp. I fall to a knee.
You prime?
Prime, I say.
Favinius? Dead. Kill Atlas.
I see my prize, Atlas's pack. It's halfway between Cassius and me.
Kill him,
I tell Cassius again. Atlas looks over at me like I'm a worm that has crawled out from an apple he was eating.
Ask Lysander about the weapon, he says.
What weapon?
Cassius asks.
Selenius's biological. Edme. It can target a color. Any color. On any...
I shoot Atlas O'Rah in the head. Everything above his eyes turns to mist.
He teeters, takes a step, and falls. His bored smile remains, mocking me. I wait for something terrible to transpire, for gorgons to rush in, for the Lightbringer to break apart, for gas or snakes to hiss out from Atlas's corpse. Nothing happens. The man is, quite simply, dead. Part of me did not believe he could die. Watching his blood flow around the bits of his fragmented brain, I begin to accept it. I push off the ground with the pistol and stumble up toward the pack. Our weight slides off my chest, replaced by one far worse. Cassius turns on me with a strange expression.
Lysander, you need to leave before anyone sees you, I say.
His eyes have fallen on the pack. I'm not far now, only a few more steps.
Lysander, stop!
My boots scrape forward.
Take one of the night raptors. Let Diomedes and Darrow know the deed is done.
I spit blood. My vision is clearing a little.
I'll let you know when I have control of the ship. Then we can talk accords.
The pack is at my feet. I bend down to unlatch its clasp. It opens a little, but I dare not give it any more attention, not with how Cassius is looking at me. I straighten. My heart sinks because even Atlas's last words have sown misery.
Lysander, what did Atlas bring back? Cassius asks.
Peace.
Is that what he told you?
He asks.
Lysander, what is that? Edme. My linguistic education was not as expansive as yours, but that sounds like I eat to me.
He takes a step forward, his razor bloody and straight in his left hand. A loaded pistol can weigh 24 ounces or a lifetime of regret. At my side, Roan's is heavy in my hand. The magazine is full with armor-piercing rounds. I let Cassius see it.
A small laugh of surprise escapes him. The betrayal in his eyes shakes me.
I never wanted to hurt Cassius, just like I never wanted to hurt Cleirastes. Not ever. But war is a game of double down. Once it starts, if you flinch, it's all for nothing. He looks at the blood, the bodies, his disembodied right hand lying on the floor, the bag at my feet. Horror grips him.
You used me? For that? For this? He asks.
To cut your strings and pin it all on me, the betrayer.
Yes.
He sways and looks around as if mortally wounded. Lysander,
I thought we were... I believed in you.
You believed in your own reflection, I say. We are not brothers. Let us go our separate ways.
Take a night, Raptor. Fly away. Live. Escape this.
I can't.
I won't.
I will be sovereign.
I will be a fair sovereign. I will fix what is broken, but I must break what no longer works. Division.
I tow the bag. With this.
That's a biological weapon, he concludes.
I nod.
I couldn't trust it in Atlas's hands. But it's safe in yours. If I don't control it, someone else will. Why not me? I ask. I didn't start the war. I have only ever tried to do what is right. Why not me? Because I don't trust you, Lysander, he says. If you give it to me, I will take a night raptor and drive it straight into that monster.
He jerks his head toward Jupiter.
The gas giant swirls beyond the pulse field to the hangar. Your strings are cut, Lysander.
You're free. We can take on Atalantia. Is that not enough?
It's time for you to go, Cassius.
He watches me for a long moment.
Say I don't.
Then you're choosing death. He staggers, exasperated.
No, Lysander. You choose. That's the point of it all, isn't it? You choose. The chair means this much to you, more than the people in your life who love you. Go, Cassius. Not without that weapon. This is not a debate. You are 13 meters away. Your armor has quit. My mind is made up, and my pistol has 19 rounds.
What happened to you?
I point the gun at him. Go.
He looks at the gun as if it were an interloper, goes very dark for a moment, and then laughs.
You're being ridiculous. In the end, I'll be more famous than you anyway. Cassius Bellona, the man who killed fear.
Leave, Cassius. Please.
You won't kill me. You love me too much. The guilt will crush you.
I will learn to bear it. He looks me in the eye, sad.
No, you won't.
But if it must be guilt that drags you down, brother, I will be your millstone. He smiles at me. Forlorn. Remember when you told me Octavia never allowed you sweets? First chance I got, I took you to that candy emporium on Eros and piled a stack of credits in your hand. That look on your face when I said you could buy as much as we could carry. He takes a deep breath and sighs it out. He adjusts his armor and gets a better grip on his razor.
Cassius, don't, I warn.
I must. I am Cassius Bellona, son of Tiberius, son of Julia, brother of Darrow, morning knight of the Solar Republic, and my honor remains. Then he rushes forward. He is not fast, not injured and in dead armor, but he is determined, and he is brave, and he is tough, and he is clever, and he is daring. He is only things I admire in him in that moment, and none of the things I don't. He covers his exposed head with his armored arms and runs at me for all he's worth. I fire methodically, breathing through my nose, both eyes open, like Rome taught me. At first, Cassius runs through my fire. Then he ploughs, trudges, stumbles, until the gun is empty and he sways, but he does not fall. Not Cassius Albellona. The tip of his razor wobbles just two finger breaths from my heart. Even though I have made a ruin of him, I cannot tell if he could not kill me or would not kill me. Nor can I tell if he opens his arms to embrace me or if he's simply teetering forward. A seizure racks his once powerful body. The blade falls out of his hands. I catch him and carry him to the ground, desperate for one last word from him. But Cassius is already dead, and he is smiling. The rest of the world vanishes. I see a black door, a hand pushing it. A chair waits for me between shafts of light. On that chair I see a boy whose feet don't touch the ground. In his hands, he holds a candle, and with a single breath, he blows it out, and with it go all the shafts of light. The hangar is quiet. My broken scarab skin creaks as I twist around. I am alone. I am in agony in which the pain of wounds is a welcome distraction. It is quiet. But for the first time, all the strings are cut. Gentle now that I can afford to be, I strain and lift Cassius to the side. Beneath him lies the pack, the solution to disunity. The greatest fear of my life grips me, and I look at Atlas and his bored smile, then back at the bag. What if it is empty? The gun is still in my hand. Odd. I thought I'd cleared the clip. There is one bullet left in the chamber. I set the gun within reach, and I open the pack. I stumble through the halls, smearing blood as I go. I depress Kyber's whisper beacon. Kyber, need you. An orange mechanic ahead in the hall stares at me and my mutilations in horror. Cassius's razor is in my chest now, just above the heart, where I planted it. The red fire team rushing down the hall to put out the evidence-destroying blaze in Hangar 17B grinds to a halt as they see me dripping my way along. Assassins! I hiss. Blood pulses through the wound in my cheek. The Reds form a human wall around me. Alarms begin to blare. Get me to safety. I stagger
and fall. The Reds catch me and carry me. Others form around me like legionnaires to escort me to safety. They run with me through the halls, roaring for others to clear a path until Praetorians finally arrive and order them to put me down. The Reds refuse at first and shout at the Praetorians, demanding to know why they didn't protect me. I had to embarrass the guard. That was almost as important as burning Atlas's body beyond recognition. To bind them to me, I had to make the arrogant guard look like fools who failed me again. The Reds relent only when I whisper to them to hand me over. I raise a hand in thanks as the Praetorians rush me away to safety. Demetrius storms up and almost blocks the way into the medbay when my Praetorians arrive with me in their arms. He is a totem of terror, but he lets us pass into the bay. Coriolanus and others of his cabal form a cordon around us after I'm set on the medical bed.
"What happened?" Demetrius demands.
"Assassins. One dead. Maybe more. Had to help."
Each word is a misery with the wound in my mouth.
"Find them, Demetrius. They killed them. They killed Roan and Atlas. Marcus and Drusilla, too."
Death enters Demetrius's eyes. The suspicion toward me is there, but he'll investigate first, then turn that death on me, if I'm to blame. For now, he wants immediate retribution.
"Who?"
"The Ra Prince. Dustwalkers. Find them. Kill them."
He storms off with purpose, his cabal pounding after him. I will not see him again, I hope. Kyber comes to my side after the medici have removed Cassius's razor. I shoo the medici from the room. "You need me, Dominus?" she asks. I pull her close and whisper, "Kyber, my defender, a coup. Surely you have felt it. In the guard." I feel the lean muscles of her shoulder stiffen. She nods. "It was the cape on Phobos. Roan poisoned me." Her eyes go flinty, no doubt thinking of the sniper who prevented her from joining us on the Dustmaker. "He was with the Fear Knight. They were trying to control me. I don't know if there is anyone I can trust. Me, Dominus. I am your whisper." "Thank you, Kyber. It will ruin the guard if this comes to light. You have your own circle of trust?" She nods. "Demetrius and all his cohort are to be found dead, killed by the same Rim assassins who did this to me, yes?" She nods again. "There are Gorgons hidden in level 31, Block C. Make them disappear. Arrest Captain Pytha. No harm is to come to her. Will you do this for me? For the guard?" 13 is your body," she says. "Demetrius, slow or quick?" "Quick, always, when we can." She almost smiles at my nobility. "One more thing, Kyber. I dumped a black bag down the hangar's waste chute. It will be in the recycling queue on level 19. Before anything else, retrieve that bag and hide it in my quarters." "Your will be done." She salutes and slips away. The medici drift in. "Patch only what you must to preserve my life," I tell them. "My allies and the crew must see my state. We cannot sanitize the truth any longer."